This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. One of the first actions that Brazil's new self-appointed right-wing government took under President Michel Temer was to announce a new cabinet consisting exclusively of white men. Temer took over from Brazil's first female president, Dilma Rousseff, who was suspended following unsubstantiated allegations of corruption by people who are themselves embroiled in corruption scandals. Rousseff's cabinet was highly diverse in both race and gender, but claiming the need to cut spending, Temer has also announced a desire to eliminate the country's Ministry of Culture. Meanwhile, WikiLeaks has announced it has evidence that Temer was a U.S. embassy informant, fueling speculation that the U.S. has had a hand in ousting Rousseff. Across the country, poor Brazilians, women, people of color, and indigenous communities are protesting the regime change. We go now to Brazil to speak with Melissa Figueroa. She is a PhD candidate in geography at the University of California at Berkeley and a producer at KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. And she's the Latin America Environment and Economy Correspondent for Rising Up. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about what has happened. Last time we had you on, it was in the lead up to what was looking like it was going to turn into a coup. Many people now agree that what has happened in Brazil is a coup. And just in general terms, are you seeing this new right-wing government essentially be guilty of all of the things that they were accusing Dilma Rousseff and the Workers' Party of?
Well, this is very interesting because, you know, as the last time I was here, I did talk about Operation Car Wash, which was the anti-corruption investigation. Well, now that the impeachment has been a fait accompli, the people who were investigated, which included, you know, up to 60% of involved up to 60% of the Congress, you know, has seemed to be mysteriously sort of, you know, suspended for a while. In fact, seven of the ministers that Temer appointed to the government are themselves, were themselves under investigation under Operation Car Wash. And at least one of the ministers has been placed in what's called a special jurisdiction that gives him immunity to an ongoing investigation, which is also something that Lula could never have gotten away with, or Dilma, had they tried to protect one of their own that way.
Right. And in fact, at some point before Dilma Rousseff was removed from her position, that was exactly the kind of immunity that Lula was attempting to get and was criticized for doing. What do you make of this new cabinet? Just not even getting into the details of the individuals that are on it, but the look of it. It is entirely monochromatic and all guys.
It's actually the first government since the military dictatorship under President Geisel from 1974 to 1979 that the cabinet and the government has been all white and all male. So there's that. One of the other things, too, that it's very, very significant that has been a change made in Temer's government, too, is that the Comptroller General of the what's equivalent to the Comptroller General of the government has actually lost their judicial autonomy and now is subordinate to the government. So instead of the accounting arm having, you know, autonomous jurisdiction and in being able to investigate people within the government, now they are actually having to answer to the government. And a lot of people are saying that this is a return to a sort of dictatorship era types of governance. It's a term called engaviador, which means basically, you know, all whatever kinds of corruption cases or complaints just sort of go in a drawer.
So it looks as though all of the kinds of accusations that the right wing was making of the PT are the same hallmarks that it is now adopting. I mean, it's just the hypocrisy is overwhelming. The double standards seem overwhelming. I mean, And we've talked about this before when you were on with us last time. You talked about the private media outlet Globo that essentially helps to drum up and whip up this information. You would think, you know, when you have this sort of hypocrisy, it's often the media that helps to point it out and shine a light on it. But I'm assuming that Globo is continuing to put these things in a drawer.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, I haven't actually, you know, Globo continues to sort of pretend that, you know, everything is legitimate, even as, you know, now 10 nations have withdrawn their ambassadors from Brazil. Russia and China do not recognize the interim government. It's one of these things where, you know, they just kind of go along as if nothing is wrong, although, you know, absolutely the hypocrisy and the double standards are absolutely obvious to anyone who's paying attention.
I'm so glad you brought up the fact that there are 10 countries in the world that aren't recognizing this new government as legitimate. Ordinarily, this would be huge news. We're not even hearing about the fact that Russia and China haven't recognized the new Brazilian government as legitimate. I understand there were even protests at the Cannes Film Festival by some Brazilian filmmakers. Another aspect of this, and I mentioned this earlier, is the Ministry of Culture. Why is the right wing opposed to the Ministry of Culture?
Actually, this is it's one of actually up to 10 ministries that the government has eliminated. The four most significant is the Ministry of Culture, but also the Ministry of Women, the Ministry of Human Rights, and the Ministry of Racial and Youth Equality. All four of those have been eliminated, which, you know, of course, speaks volumes about what the priorities will and will not be of this interim government. Actually, there's a very interesting story that's developing as well. You know, in response, maybe perhaps in response to protests about the elimination of the Ministry of Culture, Temer has basically subordinated the Ministry of Culture under the Ministry of Education and created a Secretary of Culture post. And he's apparently been searching for a token woman to put in that position. So far, he's reached out to four women and all four have rejected his offer. So that's a very interesting development that is happening as well.
Maybe we should ask Mitt Romney to send him some binders full of women to search for. So, it's kind of sad. This is sort of like a tragic comedy, we're laughing, but it's tragic. Yeah. I mean, it seems as though in just a few short days, this right-wing government has undone decades of social progress. Flawed as the Workers' Party has been, it has ushered in social and political progress. And, you know, Brazil is an extremely racially diverse country. It is also a country with great wealth inequality. And all of the progress that people had been making under the Workers' Party, in one fell swoop, this new government has just swept aside?
Yes. They're saying basically in less than 24 hours, Brazil has undergone the hardest turn to the right since the military coup of April 1964. And even, of course, since even though they're not, you know, admitting it's a coup, they're very obviously acting as if that was the case. I would also liken it probably more to Naomi Klein's shock doctrine, in which, the fait accompli has happened and they're trying to act as much as possible to roll back any protections and benefits that have been made over the last 15 years of PT rule.
So basically, they're implementing all of their fantasy policies that they had wanted to unveil. Accompanying this, as far as you know, what are the economic plans that this new government has for Brazil? I mean, the PT had come under a lot of criticism for allowing the economy of the country to stagnate, and, you know, Forbes and Bloomberg are sort of celebrating this new government, imagining that there's going to be less interference, which is, of course, how it's often cast, in the nationalized industries of Brazil. As far as you know, does this new government have a very clearly neoliberal economic agenda?
I would say so. Again, in the just a few days that it has had power, they have already brought up a 10% reduction in the Bolsa Familia welfare program. So people's payments are supposed to come in about a week and a half. So we'll see, if they're able to get that cut through as much as possible. They've also raised the retirement age to 75. It was 70 previously.
75? That's 10 years more than even the U.S. Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And given the life, especially in the, here in the rural north and northeast, where the life expectancy is much less than the industrialized south, it's definitely not a good thing. They've also discussed cuts to the salaries of public employees. That is also something that they're trying to push through very quickly. Also, they're the new Minister of Education, who is actually a member of the mainstream right-wing party, the DEM, and who has also made judicial actions against affirmative action policies. He has also expressed a desire to cut state-sponsored financial aid and scholarship programs for poor students of color. As it is right now, they have suspended all funding for graduate students in the sciences who are studying abroad. So they're basically, there will be no more opportunity for Brazilian scholars to be able to study abroad and, enhance their knowledge from other countries because of this. So these are some of the very, very immediate things. I'm talking about less than a week, right? Since this government has been installed, and so that's just a harbinger of things to come.
And I understand that elections are scheduled not until 2018. We're talking about 2 years, unless public pressure forces them or some kind of judicial move forces them earlier. I also understand that Michel Temer, the current president, who essentially appointed himself in the wake of Dilma being forced out, is not eligible to run for office because of the corruption scandals that he is embroiled in and been investigated for. What sort of public pressure can there be? What sort of public pressure has there been? Have Brazilians, who are probably reeling from all of these changes, had a chance to protest in the streets to make their voices heard?
Fortunately, that's the silver lining. The social movements who have, been preparing, I think, for something like this to happen for a while, they have been hitting the streets, especially in the major cities in Brazil. There's been some wonderful pictures of massive demonstrations of thousands of people in the streets demanding that Dilma be reinstalled as president. There seem to be also, some camps too, within the sort of resistance movements. There's a faction that sort of wants to call for general elections, and then there's also people who say that no, even calling for general elections legitimizes the fact that a democratically elected president was removed from power illegitimately, and so there's a variety and there's a spectrum of opinions of what's to be done, But we do see a lot of resistance. You mentioned the public protest at the Cannes Film Festival. Several artists and several very prominent Brazilians have spoken out against the coup. We just have to see what happens. Again, this is one of these situations in which this government is basically going to try to get away with as much as they can. And so, the thing to watch for right now is to see, what can be done and what kind of collective power can be exercised to stop them in their tracks.
Let's talk about indigenous Brazilians. It's a huge country. You're in the rural part of the country working on your PhD. Brazil is home to a good chunk of the Amazon. Indigenous communities don't necessarily have the same interests as communities in the cities, of course, and non-indigenous communities. I know that the PT had not done as much as it could do for indigenous communities and for the protection of the Amazon. How have indigenous communities reacted to Dilma's suspension?
Yes, this is actually one of the biggest issues one of the most concerning issues in terms of, what the actions being taken by this new government. Let me give a little bit of background. Up until now, according to the Constitution, the power to demarcate and give legitimate title to indigenous groups and traditional communities like Quilombo descendants, like agrarian reform, has been with the executive branch. So basically, indigenous territories are demarcated according to executive order. One of the big things, there was actually a bill in Congress that's still in Congress right now, has not been voted on. I don't think it's been voted on yet, is a bill that would actually take that power away from the executive branch and devolve it to the states. This would mean, basically that no more indigenous reserves would ever be demarcated, since the state governments are dominated by politicians who are beholden to wealthy landowners and agribusiness. One of the other things that is actually heating up right now is that I think about 2 weeks ago, right before Dilma's impeachment, a whole slew of indigenous territories were actually pushed through with the process, so that they were demarcated, they were given land rights. It was sort of this last ditch effort to get something done before, that power would be taken away from them. What has happened now is that the new cabinet under Temer have been discussing that, and of course with judicial support from the same faction, they are talking about them having the ability to roll back those demarcations. Now, technically, that's unconstitutional because indigenous rights are inscribed in the Constitution. But again, as we've seen, this government doesn't really seem to care very much about rights. This has made indigenous groups extremely, extremely concerned, and there's already been a lot of mobilization to try to resist that. Now, there's also been a special report that has been sent to the UN expressing concern that this rollback of land rights and the sort of free-for-all that would result from that could the report quotes, could result in an ethnocide of indigenous groups, especially those in territories that are highly contested. So this is a very, very, very serious issue.
So we are seeing indigenous communities also react to this. And we talked about this last time as well, Melissa, which is that the Workers' Party, part of the problem, and Emmanuel Wallerstein has been writing about this as well, part of the problem is that the PT didn't live up to its promises, didn't live up to the left ideology that it had upheld for so long, and so hadn't seen as much support on the streets as it could have used to remain in power. Of course, now people are outraged that a democratically elected government is removed. But you know, for a while there, it seemed as though, at least from the surface, that the anti-PT demonstrations were much more raucous, or maybe that was just the extraordinary amount of media coverage they got. Is there any chance that you can see of popular protest and pressure after the fact reversing this? Or is it too late for Dilma Rousseff, even if the Workers' Party were to run in future elections, is it too late for the Rousseff administration?
Well, a couple things about that. I mean, of course, yes, she had been sort of suffering from a lot of unpopularity, especially, and this, you know, comes from a sort of historical contradictions of the PT, which tried, you know, as one scholar put it, neoliberalism to the outside and social programs on the inside. But there actually were quite sizable demonstrations before the impeachment. Interestingly enough, Globo never showed them, and actually just concentrated on very, very small groups of people and called those the sort of pro-government protests. So on the one hand, there was definitely media misrepresentation on the part of Globo. And now, you know, even though people have not been happy with what the PT has done, I think the grossly blatant and overt rightward actions that the new interim government has taken, including involving figures, notorious figures from the military dictatorship era, has also struck a nerve. You know, whether or not people, you know, approve what the PT has done, you know, there's also a very large chunk of people that do not want to return to dictatorship. And so I think that is also what will motivate a lot more people to come out on the streets. Again, this is kind of a tricky issue because, and Glenn Greenwald and others have written about this, is that this type of coup that has been carried out in Brazil and, you know, is being attempted in Argentina now and is, you know, sort of the new mode of trying to roll back the pink tide in Latin America, is, you know, what people are starting to call parliamentary coups, in which they, you know, exploit the standing rules and, of course, have friendly judges that will, you know, sort of hand down and legally legitimize actions that this government takes. You know, what that does is, on the one hand, you know, they do this because, you know, rolling tanks out on the streets isn't really an option anymore in the age of social media. But it also makes it very hard to sort of, within the confines of legal procedure, be able to reverse that. So, you know, there right now, I mean, I guess right now is a living experiment in how to counter through direct action this sort of new type of regime change. And so, you know, I think we're all in for a very, very interesting ride. And I hope that it turns out well. But, you know, right now there's a lot of there is a lot of motivation and a lot of thought being put into how this can be reversed.
Well, Melissa, I want to wish you the best of luck. You're in Brazil at a very historic time. We'll see how it plays out. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
Melissa Figueroa is a PhD candidate in geography at the University of California, Berkeley, and a producer at KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. And she's a Latin America environment and economy correspondent for Rising Up, currently based in Santarém, Brazil, where she was speaking to us from. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.